Hi, everyone. Recent data released by the Centers for Disease Control show that 4 in 10 high school-age students experience persistent feelings of sadness or hopelessness. Another study released by the National Bureau of Economic Research showed that as much as 22% of high-achieving college students report moderate to severe anxiety. While the COVID-19 pandemic certainly impacted students, trends signaling a decline in well-being trace back more than a decade from right now. Supporting well-being of students is a critical area of concern for educators at all levels. We will be discussing one person's journey to support students' well-being on this episode of Teaching Matters.
Welcome to Teaching Matters, a podcast exploring all things teaching and learning. Teaching Matters is produced by NPR affiliate WOUB Public Media in Athens, Ohio. And here is your host, Dr. Scott Titsworth, Dean of the Scripps College of Communication at Ohio University.
Thank you, Trinity. Joining us today is Dana Okayama, a founder and CEO of Urban Sandbox. Urban Sandbox is an app and platform that serves as a modern-day pen pal service for K-12 students. On the app, students can interact in a safe environment about common interests, meet experts, publish work, and access educational materials, while parents can monitor activity to remain comfortable with online safety. Dana also recently launched the Well-Being Program, which is part of the Urban Sandbox platform, and provides that program provides structured mental health support for students. Dana, thank you so much for being on Teaching Matters today and introducing us to your platform.
Hi, Scott. Thank you so much for having me. My name is Dana, and I'm the founder of Urban Sandbox. And Urban Sandbox is really a student-centered platform that champions individual growth with a 3-to-1 holistic support system by uplifting students through tiered support, empowering parents with real tools, and reinforcing strong connections between home and school.
Dana, can you talk a little bit about sort of the origin story of your platform? What led you into, you know, wanting to create it, and sort of what was the impetus behind that?
Of course, I would love to talk about it. So my son actually faced a lot of challenges at school. So he really is my inspiration of this platform. So after all the unpleasant incidents, I started looking for help. And during that process, I realized that the current support system is very reactive. And whenever I reach out to psychologists or neurologists, they're either too expensive or the wait time is simply too long. And the nurturing aspect simply doesn't exist. So I wanted to create a platform that really encouraged students to express themselves without stereotypes or judgment, and really find a place, a space that can nurture students' confidence and their self-esteem on a daily basis. Because we don't want our kids to feel that they're sick. We don't really want our kids to be labeled. So that nurturing aspect is really something that we built in with this platform, because that's what we want for students. And we also focused on how to provide students with individualized support, because every kid is different. We can't apply one-size-fits-all approach here. That's why we collaborate with the Family and Child Institute. We collaborate with students from psychology department at Columbia to provide family that flexibility and that tier support they need. So it's really a space where parents' questions can be answered as well. So that's really how Urban Sandbox was born.
Thank you for explaining the story. When students are in the Urban Sandbox platform, do they experience it like social media? Is it more like a website? How would you describe the user experience for someone that's trying to envision exactly what this looks like?
We are currently trying to collaborate with schools because we would love for school to implement Urban Sandbox into their program, because we really focus on integrating mental health into academics. We don't want students or teachers' families to use another program or another platforms, because there has already been too much for teachers to juggle, and there has already been too much for families to juggle. So with Urban Sandbox, teachers and families can have that real-time connection. And whenever students produce a project or create something creatively, parents can actually see it real-time. So for example, that's how I envision schools, how they can use Urban Sandbox. For example, schools can simply ask students to use their favorite art form to write about their weekend and then share with their peers, because that really makes students feel that they are seen and they're recognized by their peers. And teachers can be creative and actually implement this into their academic programs. For example, they can ask students to write about, you know, their favorite, or not even write, just use their favorite art form to let people know what their favorite artifacts are from the ancient Egypt. It can be jewelry, it can be fabrics, it can be, you know, the tools that people use to farm. So that also teaches kids how to do their independent research. So there are many ways that teachers can implement Urban Sandbox into their school system, and that really actually gives students a space and a caring outlet to really learn how to express their emotions and to reduce their stress and really build and nurture that confidence and self-esteem on a daily basis. Because if a student writes about traps or darkness all the time, then that raises an alarm. So we're focused on preventive care, really trying to help family and teachers to realize challenges before those challenges turn into crisis.
One of the tenets that you just described and that I also observed on the Urban Sandbox website was this emphasis on creativity. There's actually a lot of evidence that shows that being creative is one of the ways that you can support through narrative your own personal well-being. What have you observed as people have used the platform about this link between creativity and positive well-being?
I'm glad you mentioned that, Scott. It's actually backed by science, because I don't think many people actually know this, but back in 1940, doctors already recognized the healing power of creative expression. So that actually led to the formal recognition of art therapy as a mental health treatment. But art therapy doesn't have to be prescribed, and creative expression doesn't have to be limited to drawing. It can be photography, sculpting, journaling, songwriting, or even coloring. So I remember once I saw a girl at my son's after-school activities, and she was just sitting there writing and drawing on her notebook, and one of the coaches approached her and asked if she actually likes writing or drawing. She said yes, because it calms me. So that's exactly what we're here for. We encourage students to create. It does not only help them reduce stress, and it also improve their overall well-being. It encourages their self-awareness and really helps kids express their feelings they might not otherwise share. And currently we are still trying to find a school to pilot our program. But I do have individual users, and I witnessed firsthand how it actually transformed my son. Because after all the incidents happened, unfortunate incidents, his confidence was really fading, and he was not talking as much. Mm-hmm. So I just encouraged him. I said, you like a video game, and let's write about it. You like Super Mario, or find a character that you can write about it. And then this summer when we were traveling, I asked him to write about his summer. And he actually found his interest in writing acrostic poems. So I think that was fantastic, because, you know, kids are very different. Some kids are good at writing, some kids are good at drawing, you know. And I don't want him to feel, if he's not good at drawing, he needs to feel inferior to his friends who are. So I feel that uniqueness needs to be celebrated. Mm-hmm. So over the years, I see his confidence, his gaining his confidence back, because that's something we really can't build on one day. It has to be nurtured on a daily basis, and it has to be nurtured intentionally as well. I'm witnessing that every single day, and that actually makes me very happy to see.
Absolutely. And I like the way that you use the word intentional. I agree with you that if you want to promote creativity, we oftentimes assume that that's a very innate talent and that it just happens. And of course, it's really the opposite. You have to provide the correct opportunities for people to be creative. You have to provide the appropriate supports and you have to give them the outlet for them to be able to express their creativity, all of which it sounds like you're really trying to have be part of the experience in the Urban Sandbox. One of the other tenets of the urban sandbox that I was reading about and the way that it's described in various news articles that I've read about it is that it's a modern day pen pal experience. What does it actually mean in the context of urban sandbox?
We encourage kids to connect with their peers because we do realize that kids love to be recognized. And then from the educators I spoke in the past with many, many years of teaching experience, they told me that kids love receiving feedback from their peers. So another aspect I'm trying to create is really tapping into what kids already enjoy and need psychologically to help them thrive and help them grow and really inspire them. So whenever they create something, they can simply post it on the platform for their peers to see. Let's say, for example, if they wrote about their weekend, I play baseball this weekend. And then other peers who love baseball, they can talk about it. So we're really trying to encourage that connection between students as well. And we absolutely recognize that it's a platform just for students, so safety comes first. That's why we implement a lot of the safety features to make sure that it's a safe environment for students to express. And that's why we want to collaborate with schools to create that security for all the families and students.
I know that you're envisioning part of that safety being that entire schools are joining the platform with their students, but even as it exists right now, it's, you know, a parent might be listening to this and thinking it's another social media platform or it's another place that, you know, my student can go online that I would have no visibility in what they're doing. What have you done with Urban Sandbox to promote those safety protocols so that parents can feel comfortable with their child having screen time in this environment?
I feel social media, the word social media has become so negative over the past few years. And I do realize that there are a lot of negative content on a lot of the social media platforms. But we need to realize that the reason students love social media so much is because they crave that recognition. And we need to work with them and actually provide them a safe place for them to be satisfied and actually be recognized, be supported. So we actually have a parent portal that allows parents to supervise their kids in real time. So they would be able to see what their kids are creating on the platform. And they will also receive screen time notifications because we encourage students to have a balanced life, not sitting in front of screen the entire time. And if they have to sit in front of a screen, then use something educational. It doesn't have to be playing video game for 3 hours. It can be learning from a art history teacher from Columbia for 30 minutes and then play soccer. So I feel students' life do need to be balanced because I believe that screen is here to exist and it's already a part of our lives, and how we use it is very important. How we teach our kids to use it is also crucial.
I noticed, and you actually just used an example of this, that in addition to the students interacting with their peers, there's also an opportunity for them on the Urban Sandbox platform to meet with experts or to interact with experts and also to access educational materials. How is that process sort of being built out on the platform? In other words, what are some of the things that you're trying to do to provide those sorts of opportunities?
So this idea also comes from my son, because a lot of kids out there, right, they have been diagnosed with either ADHD or dyslexia. So I want to provide those kids with academic flexibility, because not every kid can sit through for 45 minutes in a classroom. So I just feel that it's important to provide them an opportunity to learn something, or after school, if they need after school enrichment, or if they want to review certain materials, and it's always there. So we give students that flexibility, we provide them that independence, and really for them to learn at their own pace. So that's what we are trying to do, and we feel that will actually help a overall student's mental well-being a lot, because some kids, if they can't keep up in a classroom, they feel stressed. And then they go into this vicious cycle and thinking that they're not good enough. But if they have the resources and if families are provided with resources, then students can find their own time to study and actually learn more.
At the top of the show, I began our discussion with some statistics that indicate that student well-being is certainly concerning at this stage because of statistics showing that, you know, so many students experience stress and anxiety through the normal course of their day. As I understand it, a relatively new aspect of the Urban Sandbox is the well-being program. Can you talk about what that program is and how you're trying to use the platform of Urban Sandbox to provide access to some sort of support for students and parents around some of these issues?
Of course. We realize that there are families who are struggling silently, and there are families who are less engaged with school. Also, there are families who simply don't feel comfortable discussing with social workers or psychologists at school. So we want to provide families with that flexibility. We want to make it easy for parents to engage without having to juggle so many platforms or services. That's why we collaborate with our community partners to provide a tiered support. Like I mentioned before, every kid is different, and every issue or problems every family faces is different. And some families face probably less challenging issues than others. They will also have a place to reach out just simply for guidance and support. And because we are our collaborations with our partners, we can also provide a more affordable model that can be used by families regardless of their socioeconomic status. So we are really trying to focus on that nurturing, preventive, and proactive support.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the tiers, it sounds like part of that is providing providing sort of a space where people can talk about shared concerns, and then that could work all the way up to being able to be connected with a healthcare provider. Are there any other elements of those tiers that stand out as unique on the platform?
Yeah, of course. So tiered support, we have three tiers. One is the basic well-being support, and then the intermediate and the advanced. So basic well-being support is really for parents to get their questions answered. How do I deal with my kids who don't want to go to sleep at night? Or what should I do if my kids are, you know, being bullied at school? You know, simple mm-hmm. questions like that. Mm-hmm. Or if parents feel that their kids' symptoms are a little bit more severe, they can reach out to intermediate well-being support. And if for extreme cases, they can certainly reach out to advanced well-being support, which are provided by all the licensed child psychologists. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we provide an easy access for families because some people don't even know where to look.
Yeah.
It took me a lot of time to actually find the right person for my son. So I wanted to provide that access for all the families out there.
Mm-hmm. If you had advice for a family that they've listened to this podcast and they think this maybe is something that we should explore, you know, for our child, maybe they're in a similar circumstance to you. Are there ways that you would recommend people sort of start understanding the platform and how they might, you know, start to get engaged with it? Is it just a matter of just signing up and getting going? Or is there more of a protocol that would be effective to follow if they were introducing this to their family and their child?
It's actually very simple. They can simply sign up and then start using the platform because we do provide a lot of opportunities for students to be creative. For instance, this summer we actually hosted a summer writing contest. So we encourage students to write about their summer superpowers. yeah, we'll be announcing the winner in a week. It's fantastic to see. And we actually have students from the UK who joined. So we want to provide, you know, the easy and simple platform for parents to be able to access everything. So it's really a centralized platform with all the resources that families can find. Because we recognize that when it comes to students' well-being and their upbringing, teachers, parents, and students, they are the three key stakeholders. We can't ignore any one of them. So it's fairly easy for families to use. And we're always here. If they have any questions, simply reach out. We're happy to answer all families' questions.
And you've talked about the fact that you're currently looking for a partner school that could be a pilot for doing this on a broader scale within an entire within an entire school system. I'm sure you've given thought to what you would like to see in terms of how your system would be integrated into a school. So if you were thinking about, the opportunity of partnering with the school, what do you think that should look like in order for it to best serve the needs of the school, the students that are in the school, the families, et cetera?
So I know some schools, they are already doing a social emotional learning program a couple times a week. And during that time, I see that schools can simply use my platform, encourage students to express themselves or for, like the examples that I gave previously, they can ask about students weekend, they can ask about students, the day, and even their thoughts on the current news that they can share, and simply post on Urban Sandbox for their parents, their teachers, and their peers to see. And on the platform, they can also receive a feedback from their peers. And then that's another aspect that we're trying to encourage, because we want to guide students to use all the platforms safely. We want them to know that it's not all bad, and then because we do recognize that they have that need. I mean, for adults, we are the same. We want recognition from others, and then at workplace, we want recognition from our boss. So it's very natural for every human being, every individual, and so that's how I see schools can implement that into their daily activities, their curriculum, I actually listened to one of your previous podcasts. You were talking about the importance of home and family communication. And we also allow, and then once students post their work, and parents can actually see it in real time. So parents actually know what their kids are doing in class. And if anything alarming comes up, and the parents can also act very quickly, and then they can also just go to our platform, reach out to the well-being consultants on the platform to get their questions answered, to get support. So I feel that with Urban Sandbox, we can really bring that connection together, the home student as well as parents, because connection is very important. And that's something that technology can't teach us, and it can't replace human connection. We use technology to enhance that connection so that our kids can be supported inside and out.
When I think about social media, one of the, I think, problems with, children being on social media is that they're in this huge, space. They're interacting with people that are much older than them, that are, but then if you break it down into your platform where it's K-12, you still have wide disparities between students that are in early elementary grades and students that are in high school. Are there steps that you can take to make sure that the principle of safety is adhered to so that, high school students and very young elementary students are interacting with each other in appropriate ways?
It's actually already built in. Everything is age appropriate. So we separate elementary school students, middle school students, and high school students. So they only see age appropriate content. And then teachers are also receiving real time notices. So teachers during school days, teachers definitely can supervise their students' activities. We have a list of prohibited words implemented there as well, so that students can't type or use. My company also supervise the platform 24/7, so we have the right to remove any inappropriate content that we think they are.
You obviously entered into this with a personal experience, and I'm sure that as you reflect on the platform and your son's experiences, that's something that drives you. As an entrepreneur or as a creator of a platform like this, as you look back on the development of Urban Sandbox, what's the pride point that you take away from it right now?
I'm just very proud to see the final product, and I can't wait for schools to use it because I know how a lot of families can benefit from it, even with all the flexibility we're providing. And on the platform, like I mentioned before, we allow students to see all the teachers' programs at their own time, and they can learn at their own pace. So schools can also use it to encourage students to go on the platform, explore a program that actually works for you. So that actually reminded me of a story that my son experienced. So he was introduced to meditation. And that did not work for him. And he was also introduced to use the emotional chart to identify his feelings. Mm-hmm. That did not work either. So I feel that, oh, wow, every kid is so unique. You can't just apply one program onto every kid. And with Urban Sandbox, schools can simply say, parents, please go try this program, A, B, and C, and see which one fits your student the best. Because teachers are already so overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and they're stretched so thin. We don't really want them to shoulder too many burdens. So, and the only solution to this is to provide families with those resources. So families can try which program and see which program that fits their children the best.
I appreciate that. I think your hunch is absolutely correct that as we try to figure out opportunities for addressing wellness across, you know, different age groups of students, because of the scale of that issue, there is a tendency to come up with solutions that are implemented. And I agree with you that people's individual journeys are unique enough that one solution is going to be very challenging to apply broadly across an entire group of students. So I appreciate the fact that one of the things you're trying to do is to provide options for families and students that they can find what works for them. I didn't ask you at the beginning, when did Urban Sandbox start as a platform, and you know, how's its growth been since you started it?
Our platform launched in October 2023. Mm-hmm. But I did spend a couple years working on it.
Yeah.
And over the years, I did improve it. And then finally implementing the well-being program completes the entire program. So mm-hmm. all my ideas, everything I learned from my son is in the platform. And mm-hmm. so, yes, I'm proud to see the final product, and it's just a simple platform that has so much potentials and allow families to have access to so many resources, really enhance that connection mm-hmm. between teachers, parents, and students, because all we want is to have our kids thrive.
Yeah, absolutely. Dana, it's been great to meet you. We will put a link to the Urban Sandbox website on the text accompanying the podcast. But I also understand that you have an app that's available in the app stores for various devices. Is that the case as well?
Yes, I have the app available on iOS as well as Android, and parents can also access the platform on website as well. So everything is synced. So it doesn't matter if the parent signs up on the app or the website, the content is always synced.
Okay, very good. We'll put the link in the text accompanying the podcast and encourage viewers and listeners to take a look at Urban Sandbox. It really is something that is built for students and really emphasizing students' well-being through what I think are very important tools of creativity. Dana, it's been great to meet you. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much, Scott. It's very nice meeting you as well.
Absolutely. My guest today has been Dana Okeyama. She's the founder and CEO of Urban Sandbox. Again, you can follow the website link to be able to learn more about Urban Sandbox. There's a great list of FAQs that parents and students can look at, and you can also learn more about the features of that platform, as well as how to enroll and to download the app to make it convenient on your mobile device. Thank you to the listeners and viewers for being a part of the Teaching Matters podcast community. If you want to reach out to the podcast with ideas, thoughts, or suggestions, you can feel free to email us at teachingmatterspodcast@ohio.edu. That's Teaching Matters Podcast, all one word, all lowercase, @ohio.edu. Special thanks to associate producers April Koska and Trinity Sweet for their work behind the scenes and making the podcast work. We hope that all of you have a great day.